The video that we just watched obviously wasn't designed as a Christmas video, but it does encompass the Christmas story, doesn't it? And it's part of a video project that tells the story, the whole story of the Bible. And so I wanted us to think about the Christmas story sort of not in isolation, but more in the context of God at work throughout the whole Bible and indeed today. Of course, we do at this time of year focus on the story of Mary and Joseph and the birth of Jesus. But let's just think for a few moments about those other two births that were mentioned in that video. Zachariah and Elizabeth having their son John, and Abraham and Sarah and their son Isaac. Now, they were, as we heard, both elderly couples, elderly childless couples, and they were living about 2,000 years, or as we found out in the quiz, 42 generations apart. But in both cases, an angel appears to the prospective father, because the father was going to have something to do with the birth in this case, and says, your wife is going to have a baby. Both sets of prospective parents have trouble believing it's going to happen. But sure enough, within a year, in both cases, a baby boy is born. Children conceived by natural means, but still miraculous births. And in both cases, sons of promise. Isaiah's birth confirmed an earlier promise that God had made to Abraham, that he was going to be the father of many nations. And you can read that story in the book of Genesis. But it's when the nation of Israel was founded and God sort of set into motion the story of his chosen people, the method by which he was going to reveal himself to the world. But over the next sort of 2,000 years, through the rest of the Old Testament, we find out that actually the Israelites were pretty poor at doing their task, and they didn't succeed in revealing God to the rest of the world. And so God set in motion the next part of his plan. And that happened when the angel appeared to Zechariah to tell him about another child of promise, about John coming. John's birth was like the final preparations for God's new covenant, for his new way to reveal himself. And this time, not just to the people of Israel, but to the whole world. God was on the move again. Israel's relationship with God was about to change. God was setting in place the opportunity for a new covenant, a new relationship, not just with the Israelites, but with the whole of his creation. Now, I think the last couple of times I've spoken of Resound, I've mentioned the fact that the Israelite nation were hoping for the coming of God's Messiah, and that they thought he would come with military power, wipe out their human oppressors, and establish a free Israel. But God's plan was bigger and more inclusive than that. A few weeks ago, I had the radio on, and I heard the name Karl Barth mentioned, and he's a theologian that Mike often quotes, so I thought I'd listen a bit more carefully. And the point being made was that the difference between God and humans is huge. So much so that any differences between people are almost immaterial. So differences between race, religion, social groups, any other constructs that we as humans sort of put into place, those differences that we put in are negligible compared to the huge difference between mankind and God. And the point was being made that mankind insists on focusing and emphasising the differences between people and people groups, whereas we do better to focus on equality between people and agree that whoever we are and wherever we come from, we're all in the same boat before God. We're all in dire need of salvation. The religious Jews of Jesus' time believed that they were much closer to God to everybody else, and therefore they thought they were superior to other people groups. But God was about to show them that they had completely misunderstood their role as his people. So the story of the first Christmas that we call the first Christmas is about God doing a new thing. But it's not something that happens immediately. It's going to be revealed gradually over the lifetime of the small baby that's born. And John's role is to prepare the way, to tell the people to get ready, to be on the lookout for God doing something new. God works very differently from us. We tend to think if God's going to do a new thing, it's going to happen right now. But God's timescales are very different to ours. In fact, the whole way that God works is very different to how we as human beings tend to work. And God's values are probably very different to how the sort of general values that people in the world have. The circumstances of Jesus' birth have something to say about the nature of God's kingdom. He was, as we saw in the video, born to a teenage mother in an insignificant town in, frankly, less than desirable conditions. And the news of the Messiah's birth was not communicated to important people like kings or priests, but it was communicated to the peasant shepherds. Because, as we saw in the video, Jesus is going to turn the world's values upside down. Jesus' kingdom is going to be a kingdom of humility and servanthood, of love and sacrifice, as opposed to the world's kingdoms of pride and power and aggression and greed. And for the Jewish people, the biggest shock of all was that the Messiah wasn't coming just for them, but he was coming for all people everywhere. Jesus was going to bridge that impossible chasm that Karl Barth was talking about between God and humans, not by overcoming the Romans and proclaiming a free Israel, but by overcoming evil itself, so that no one need be under the control of sin any longer, but could be free under the lordship of Jesus. The kingdom of God was birthed 2,000 years ago in a dirty cowshed with poor and insignificant people as witnesses. And today, despite persecution and hardship in many places, and in other places the indifference of the majority, Jesus' kingdom is still growing. And it grows fastest amongst the powerless and the poor, the have-nots and those on the fringes, because God's kingdom is an upside-down kingdom. At Christmas, we celebrate God's amazing love and his goodness and generosity to the world in sending his son Jesus to save us both from the power of evil and from our own selfishness. But it's a sad fact that many reject his salvation and settle for the way of life of the kingdoms of the world. So my prayer this Christmas for the people of Resound is that as we go into 2024, we're increasingly committed to serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and to seeing his kingdom grow in our lives and the lives of others. And if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus and you usually only think of him as a baby in a story, then my prayer for you as you go into 2024 is that you'll have the courage to examine the whole story of Jesus. Jesus, the co-creator of the universe, the rescuer of people in a damaged world, and the coming King when he will be restorer of all creation. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you've not left us to struggle alone in the dark kingdoms of the world, but that you have reached out to rescue us and show us a better way in your kingdom of love and light. Amen.